Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Thursday, October 27th, 2022. We are live at Youngstown Studio in downtown Youngstown, Ohio. I am joined by Joe Danier. I will be sipping on water and a little bit of bourbon because I just have that like scratchy throat. So bear with me if I'm struggling. And Joe, I might just give you the signal like, I'm choking, man. I need you to go for it. So
well, it's been up since 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not your good life preserver today, I assure you.
All right. We will make it through our best today and see what we can do. I'm wearing the Ohio State gear today, but obviously we got the Battle of Ohio this weekend. We got you got Cincinnati and you got the Browns on Halloween night. You have Ohio State traveling a few hours to the east, going to Penn State. We'll talk about all that stuff here in a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are off to a really, really nice start this season. And it's Halloween. We're gonna talk a little bit of Halloween costumes and also high school football playoffs start tomorrow night in Ohio, and we will talk about some of our local teams and the matchups, and I'll share with you my picks for those this week. So with no further ado, let's get started with the show. So Battle of Ohio, we're going to start with the Browns and what they do well and what they don't do so well. And, we talked briefly about this on Tuesday's show, but the Browns are really good at running the ball. So let's stick with that. Let's run the ball. I know we're not going to have Wyatt Teller most likely this week. Jacoby Brissett is efficient, but let's put him in a position where we're ahead in the game, not having to come from behind late in the game. So the Browns obviously giving up too many points on the defensive side of the ball, but they are scoring at a pretty solid clip, 24 points a game, which is 10th overall, but they're giving up 26.6, which is just not acceptable. But overall, the defense, the talent is there, and, you know, it's there. It's just a matter of, are we getting enough out of them? And the answer up to this point has been no. I thought Baltimore's game last week was a solid effort by the defense, but again, it just wasn't good enough. So let's see what we can do this. Well, not this weekend. Again, I told you, Joe, your Sunday's going to be fine. And it's not going to be ruined by the Browns the next two weekends because one, we play on Monday night on Halloween, and two, we have a bye week the following week. So let's see what we can do here. All right, so. Injuries are always a big thing for the Browns and just any football team, really. So David Njoku appears to be out with a high ankle sprain. I think that's going to be, hopefully he's back after the bye week, but I don't think we're going to have him this Monday night against the Bengals. Wyatt Teller, questionable. We'll see again what his status is, but Froholt has stepped in really nice in his stead. But Wyatt Teller is the number two ranked guard in all of football behind his teammate, Joel Bitonio. So the Browns run game runs off of those two really well. And I lost my stuff here. So that's wonderful. Now, there we go. See, like, okay. So if you guys don't know, let me give you a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes here. So I come in, Joe can tell you, I'm usually very prepared, and today's no different. I'm prepared. But if this screen goes down, I'm gonna lose my shit because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about next. There's usually a flow to these shows, and so we'll see. But Jacob Phillips, linebacker, unfortunately, another linebacker out for the season for the Browns. Farrell Brown, the third tight end, is questionable. He was in concussion protocol. And then Denzel Ward, same thing. He has missed the last two games and is questionable to play. We really need him, especially going against Cincinnati's offense with the weapons they have on the outside. So let's get to know our opponent a little bit. Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals have really come on as of late, struggled a bit early on this season. But right now, Joe Burrow, I mean, he threw for almost 500 yards last week. I think he had like something like 350 in just the first half last week. So the Bengals Overall, what do they do well? They throw the ball. You know, we know what they're going to do. They throw the ball well. They rush it. Okay. Joe Mixon has looks like he's lost a bit of a step this year, but their rushing game has not been too solid. Also, their offensive line, they are susceptible to the pass rush. So if Clowney, thank you, Joe. Joe not only owns the studio, runs things behind this stuff, but he puts up with all my crap and produces the show all the time, too. So I appreciate that.
I don't want you losing your shit.
Well, and I'm already talking too much where I need to, like, slow down and enjoy the bourbon. So
on tilt.
Exactly. So the Bengals are the fifth best passing team in the NFL through the air, but they are 28th in rushing with only 87.4 yards a game. Nick Chubb basically runs for 20 yards a game more than the Cincinnati Bengals, but they are scoring about 25 points a game, and they're only giving up about 19 points a game, which is eighth best in all of the NFL. Obviously, you got to worry about Jamar Chase and Higgins and Tyler Boyd on the outside. So Joe Burrow, if we can get after him, pressure him, and make him throw some, inopportune throws, that's what we're looking for there. So, Joe, let's go over a few of the betting things this weekend, some of the lines this weekend. So right now, and this was, I put this together on Wednesday afternoon. So if the lines have moved any, they haven't moved much. But as of last look, the Bengals were a 3.5-point favorite, which feels probably about right. The Browns being at home, the Bengals on a hot streak, the Browns on a losing streak. And the total for this game is 47. So, Joe, what say you about, what do you think about the line in general and the total here?
All right. I'm going to take the Browns with the points because they've been, even if they lose, they've kept it nice and close pretty much every game. I'm going to go the over because I just think that I think it's going to be a high scoring game. Yeah. Burrow's going to put up numbers, so we're going to have to respond, and it's going to be a higher game.
Okay. Yeah. I always tend to lean over no matter what. And I think with these two offenses, you're going to see some points scored. The Browns struggles on defense, but maybe they've turned a corner after last game. They really kept Lamar Jackson in check, seven easy points for Baltimore's offense came on that Jacoby strip sack last week. So hopefully the Browns can figure it out. The Bengals are minus 185 on the money line. The Browns are plus 165. Nick Chubb over under 90.5 yards. I'm rolling with the over every week with Nick Chubb. I mean, he's just so damn good that it makes too much sense. Now, Jamar Chase, one of the best receivers in all of football, the over under. He's so good. He is so good. 85.5. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm going to go the over that as well.
Okay. Joe Burrow, 282.5. I don't know. I actually think I'm going to go under on that. I don't know. I don't have a good reason, but I think it might be a little bit rainy on Halloween night in Cleveland. Maybe a little, get a little winds kicking up. So I'm going to go with the under on Joe Burrow.
I will as well.
Okay. Kareem Hunt, total yards. Now, Kareem Hunt's on the trading block, so he very well could not be on the team by Monday. Trading deadline is Tuesday, but I'm going to say he will be on the Browns as of Monday night, and 49.5 is the over-under there. What do you say?
I'm going under.
Under. I'm going to go under as well. I think Nick Chubb gets a lot of yards. I think Kareem Hunt, if we get inside the 5-yard line, scores a touchdown, but I'm going to go with the under there as well. And then last one, Jacoby Brissett passing 204.5. What do you think?
Man, that's a rough one because my heart says I want it to be above 200 yards, but man, the struggle. I'm going to have to take the under.
Okay. I'm going to go under, I'm going to go over, but just slightly. I think he's been very efficient overall this year. I think Amari Cooper might have a nice game here, but the big loss is going to be in David Njoku, who's not playing. That was our second leading target throughout the season. So I think it's going to be right around that 205 mark. So I'm going to go with the over and Joe Burrow's under, but we'll see what happens here in this game. But the Browns, this should be a really, really good Monday Night Football matchup, and you got Aikman, you got Joe Buck on the game, your buddy. So, but if you don't like that, you can always watch the Manning cast. I'm pretty sure the Mannings are doing one this Wednesday or this Monday. And if not, you can, you know, listen to it on the radio and maybe cue it up, sync it up on the TV.
Exactly what I do. Mr. Donovan and yep. What's his name?
Yep, Zagura and Donovan. They're really, really good. So let's look ahead to the schedule after this week. We're going to have a – is that a phone call?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hey, somebody wants to talk. But maybe it's
– this is the weirdest show ever.
It really is. No it's a weird show. We're heading into Halloween.
Something is spooky and ghost.
You don't need to do a ghost hunt anywhere else. You just come right down here.
Phones are ringing that aren't even turned on. And computers are – turning off.
It is what it is. We're struggling through it. We're gonna make it through it. We're getting the people the information they need. But Halloween night, we'll see, and then that'll put the Browns. Now it's a 17 game schedule, so you can't be actually halfway through until you're at halftime of the Dolphins game, which is weird. But we're gonna call it the halfway point since the bye week falls right there at week 9 as well. But you have a tough schedule the next 4 games here. But these are all, I would say the Bills is going to be the major challenge. Obviously, the Browns will probably be close to a 10-point underdog in that game. But I think the rest of these games are all winnable or at least going to be very competitive. So the Browns, and again, you got to take care of business week by week. So we will see how we do here. So 2-5, and the computer's restarting again.
Did it
so
really?
It did. It did. So,
I got a question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So for this, the Browns start their season off with freaking Carolina.
Yep.
And then he comes back on Houston. Like this cannot be coincidental. Well, and they line this stuff up.
And Russell Wilson, his first game with the Broncos was in Seattle too. I literally think I think some of it's by design. I think some of it's just.
Yeah, but like how long should this have been Watson? I see the perfect game for him to come back on.
Well, do you remember there was talk like Roger Goodell did not want him coming back before the Houston game. He wanted at least, what would that be, a 12-game suspension. So he didn't quite get what he wanted, but, you know, it's there for the taking. So, you know what? I got my phone, so I'm good. You people won't see the slides. I'll share them out on social media later, but do you remember the did you know I shared from Tuesday? Nick Chubb, if he touches the ball 20 or more times, they are 2-0. If he touches the ball less than 20 times, 0-5 this season. So get Nick Chubb the ball by any means necessary. So Nick Chubb, 126 attempts, 740 yards. That is good for almost 6 yards a rush. He's averaging 105.7 yards a game, 8 touchdowns, and 9 receptions on the season. So
can I get some updates on some of these players? Like we started off the season talking about whether or not DPJ was going to make his his return, and he was going to really show enough to say this guy should be on this team. What's your thoughts on DPJ?
I think he is a solid receiver. I think he would be a perfect number three receiver, and David Bell could flip in there at your 4 and sometimes your slot receiver. If the Browns had another veteran receiver, that would be ideal. Donovan Peoples-Jones, it feels like he's been around forever. This is only his 3rd year in the league. But he is a very, now there will be some ebbs and flows with him, but he's a good receiver. Like he makes contested catches. He, you know, is a tough player. He gets after it. He's, you know, you're going to probably be your punt returner the rest of the season, at least to be sure-handed and be back there. But that's kind of what we're dealing with. And I think he's a really solid receiver. I'll just put it like that. But ideally, you want him as your number 3.
All right. And then you said Schwartz, you pretty much mentally moved on from that.
I think that's a lost cause, unfortunately. And it's a shame because he's probably the fastest person on the team, but he's just, he's not an NFL receiver, at least at this point.
And Joku.
Njoku is playing at a Pro Bowl level right now. Yeah.
Bryant.
Harrison Bryant,
the tight end.
Yeah, Harrison Bryant. Yeah. Yep. He, I think he's a really good NFL tight end. Is he a star? No, but is he a good receiving tight end? Yeah. And he's, helping out, you know, blocking and doing his job.
All right. Now, Amari Cooper, like I'm still on the fence about Amari. I mean, I know he's awesome. I've watched him play on other teams and light it up. I just haven't seen much flair from him this year.
Yeah, he is not going to light the world on fire with like blazing speed and, you know, like a lot of deep ball stuff. But he is a consistent go-to target. And I think that's exactly what like Jacoby Brissett needs at this point. And then when Deshaun Watson comes back, again, whatever you think about him off the field, the guy's a really great quarterback and he will elevate those people around him. So I'm trying to think if Cooper has ever played, you know, Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. He's not great. Derek Carr's a good quarterback. He's not great. This will be his first great quarterback I think he's ever played with. And it'll be interesting to see those last six games, how those two mesh together, because, you know, you have a really special player at quarterback, and Amari Cooper, you could argue, is probably in the top five of like best route runners in the league. Again, he's not going to blaze, you know, burn you with blazing speed or your 40 time, but he is just a really good football player. And, you know, he had those back-to-back 100-yard games, and he's had a couple really nice games, but he's also had a few clunkers too. He had the first game, I think he had like three catches. Was it the Atlanta game? He might have had one catch in that game. But in this last game against the Ravens, he got called for that push-off that would have been the game-winning touchdown, which was really unfortunate, but a very, very, very good player that – I think is a true number one receiver. So I think the Browns should be jumping for joy that they got him for, I think it was a fifth round pick. And that's why people are like, why would you trade Kareem Hunt for a fourth round pick? Like, this is the perfect example, because you can use that pick to maybe go out and get a veteran next year. Now the Browns, they're going to have to start paying some guys more next year. However, the salary cap goes up next year, so they're going to be able to have some more money to play with, where if you can keep Cooper around, you can build Donovan Peoples-Jones up a little bit more. You get Jakeem Grant back. Maybe you get David Bell improved, but you can get another guy that's maybe your number two receiver for that like fourth round pick that's a true veteran. I think you're in really good place.
All right. The last update. What about our corners? This whole corner guys, like I'm a little disappointed with them as well.
Well, I will say I really like what Greg Newsome is doing. Greg Newsome has proved to be worthy of that first round draft pick. The thing with Denzel Ward is he's a great player when he's on the field. He struggled a little bit early on, but it's a matter of health with him. And he's been out these last two games with a concussion. And again, it's a concussion. There's nothing you can really do about that until they clear you from protocol. But it's just feels like, you know, he's going to miss two or three or four games every season. And that's a big loss, especially at a position where you need. Now, I will say, in his absence, you move Greg Newsome over to the one, and then you put Martin Emerson. That was the first player they drafted in the third round this year at corner from Mississippi State. He has been phenomenal, phenomenal. I said in our last show, I think if he was drafted this coming year, he would be at worst a second round pick, possibly a first round pick. Just his length, his size, his speed. He got burnt against Garrett Wilson in one play that I can remember. That one crazy catch that George Pickens made for the Steelers was against him, but he had really great coverage on the play. So I can't say enough good things about Martin Emerson, and I think he's fit in well. So Greedy Williams, Delpit, you know, that's a safety, different position, but some of their safety play needs to be improved. But I think the corner play is overall pretty solid. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think it's been those like blown coverages that have been a little bit disappointing. So So let me go to my slide and see where I'm at next on here. Don't worry about it. You're fine. So tonight we have Baltimore, who we just played, against Tampa, who we have in a few weeks. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. The Ravens are a 2.5-point favorite. They're playing this game at Tampa. Joe, I'm taking the Ravens straight up. Who you got? All right. Joe with the Ravens. I am on the Ravens. Now, this was one of the most interesting stories of all last week, or all yesterday, I should say. But the Broncos are playing the Jaguars in London this coming Sunday morning. So the Jaguars are currently a 4-point favorite. Denver has really struggled this year. Russell Wilson was apparently doing like high knees on the airplane over to London yesterday. So with that said, I'm going Jaguars. 100%. So I just think Russell Wilson's weird and I'm going with the Jaguars, and I'm probably going against the Broncos in all the rest of the games this year. Dolphins at Detroit Lions. The Dolphins are a 3.5-point favorite. I'm going with the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins as well. We're 3-for-3. Carolina at Atlanta. Two teams the Browns have already played this year. The Falcons are a 6-point favorite. Joe, I'm going to go Falcons. What say you?
Who are they playing?
The Carolina Panthers. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and no Baker Mayfield, I believe, still, but even even maybe a 4-stringer as of now, but even so, it's just a rough situation there, and Carolina seems to be selling people off for a possible run at a top quarterback next year. We have the Cardinals at the Vikings. Vikings 5.5-point favorites. I'm going with the home team, the Minnesota Vikings.
I'll go with Vikings as well.
All right, so far we're all on the same page here. The Chicago Bears, who coming off a big win over the New England Patriots, at the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are a 10-point favorite in this game. I'm going with the Cowboys. I think the Bears cover that, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys to win straight up.
Yeah, I'll go with you with that as well.
Okay. Here's my first, I think this is my first underdog I'm picking. I'm going to go with the Saints at home to beat the Raiders. The Raiders are a 2.5-point favorite.
All right, I'll go with the Raiders just to be different on one game.
Okay, all right. So I got the Saints. Joe is on the Raiders. Steelers at the Eagles. Eagles are a 10-point favorite at home. I'm going to go with Philly big in this game.
100%.
Okay. New England at the New York Jets, former Bill Belichick. I think he was there for a cup of coffee there. So I'm going to go with New England in this game. The Patriots are laying, I believe it's 1 point. So
I'll go with Jets.
Okay. All right. Joe's on the Jets. And the Jets are 5-2. I think something crazy like that. So awesome for them. The Titans at the Texans. The Titans are a 4-point favorite. I'm going to go with the Titans, who are playing some good football of late.
Yeah, I'll go with Titans as well.
All right, very good. The New York Giants at the Seattle Seahawks, who might be the most surprising team in football. I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks are -2. I'm going to go with the underdog, the road New York Giants.
I'll go with Seattle.
Okay, Joe's going Seattle. I'm going Giants. We're starting to differ a little bit here. Carson Wentz Bowl here, Washington at Indy. Joe, I'm going to have you pick that one first.
Yeah, I'll go with Indy.
All right, we're both same on that. There goes the voice. Yeah. So,
little bourbon, that's all you need.
Little bourbon. All right, 49ers at Rams. I'm going to go with the Niners. Niners are laying 1.5.
I'll go with Niners. They've been streaking it, man.
Mm-hmm. I think the Rams have really, really struggled this year. I think this might be the second time these teams have already played, too. Let's see. L.A. and the Chiefs are both on bye this week. Sunday night.
But I'll take the Chiefs on bye. Does that work?
Yeah. I mean, they're damn good. Mahomes is even better when he doesn't have to play. Aaron Rodgers is a 10.5-point underdog at the Buffalo Bills, which is, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers has ever been a 10-point or more underdog. I'm going to go with the Bills straight up. Just makes too much sense. And then I'm going to go, you already said you're going with the Browns to cover. I'm going to go with the Browns to win straight up just because I think their back's against the wall and they have to have this game. So that's why I'm going to go with the Browns in this one.
Might as well go with it too, right?
Let's do it. Like I picked against the Browns too, and it hasn't worked. So yeah. Might as well just go with them and see what happens. All right. Give me a second here.
Sure. Yeah, but maybe if we start playing that, getting them all pissed off and having their fans go against them, get them mm-hmm. all fired up, that everybody gives up on them, maybe that chip on their shoulder will make a difference.
No doubt.
Are you going to live? Are you surviving?
This happens to me, I think, as you guys know, once every like 3 to 5 months.
Well, the thing is, he travels and he licks doorknobs when he's out and about. And he can't do that, Justin. That's lots of dirty doorknobs.
That's a crazy doorknob licker as Halloween costume. Oh, Jesus. Where are we going with this? Let's switch to college football.
All right.
Ohio State at Penn State. You can argue this is their first real test of the season. They have played Notre Dame. They have played Iowa. They have played Wisconsin. They have played Michigan State. All teams that were ranked in the top 25 in the preseason. However, none of those teams are in the top 25 now. Penn State comes into this game, excuse me, as the number 13th ranked team in the country. They are 6-1. For some reason, did not update their Big Ten record, but they are 3-1 in the Big Ten, only loss coming to Michigan. Penn State offense averages 429 yards on the ground. They are 49th in the country there. 373 yards allowed per game, which is 63rd, which kind of surprised me there. But their Penn State defense has some serious dudes on their team. But Penn State has a win at Purdue. They have a win at Auburn. And they have a win against Minnesota. So three pretty solid teams that they have victories against. However, they've struggled against teams like they obviously got beat up by Michigan. They've struggled against Northwestern. They struggled against Central Michigan early in the year, and they really struggled against Purdue in the opener. So that's what we're looking at right now with Penn State. Right now, the line is sitting at Ohio State as a 15.5-point favorite. Ohio State is just so good this year, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But you look at the numbers, their defense is even better. And I'm going to run through real quick some of the people that are doing some of these things that are, you know, putting the Buckeyes in a chance to succeed. So the over-under for this game is 62, but 15.5 is the line in the spread. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, as I mentioned, Ohio State has taking care of business. They're 7-0, 5 games left in the regular season. It appears Ohio State and Michigan are in a collision course for the final week of the season, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So we'll see how that goes. But looking at CJ Stroud and what he has done this year, he has thrown for about 70% completion, 70% exactly completion this year. He's thrown 2,023 yards on the season, which is 289 yards per game, 28 touchdowns, 4 picks. He is your leader currently in Vegas for the Heisman Trophy. So we will see Hendon Hooker from Tennessee is up there. And you got a few other guys up there, but those appear to be the favorites. Now, they are doing most of this on offense without, they thought, who would be their leading receiver coming into this season. Arguably the best receiver in the country, Jackson Smith and Jigba. These are his last year's numbers. 95 catches, 1,606 yards, 9 touchdowns, 17 yards a catch. This year, 5 catches, 43 yards, no touchdowns, 8.6 reception or 8.6 per catch. That is because he has not played in a full game this season. He hurt his hamstring week 1 against Notre Dame. He re-injured against Toledo, and then he was on a pitch count last game against Iowa. So that's where we're at. In his absence, other guys have stepped up, like Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. is from the Philadelphia area, and don't think he wants to beat up on Penn State. A team that really wanted him as well for this season. And Joel Klatt, by the way, called this guy possibly the best receiver in the NFL in 4 years from now. So he has 38 catches for nearly 600 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 16 yards a catch. Emeka Egbuka, the former number one recruit in the country, 41 catches, 735 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 18 yards a catch. Julian Fleming has also stepped up there, 17 catches, 327 yards, 6 touchdowns, 19 yards a catch. He is a former Penn State high-level target, and they did not get him. The Buckeyes did. And don't forget, the Penn State hasn't forgot that. They will be after him. Let's give the tight end a little love here, too. Cade Stover, former Mr. Ohio football, way back in, I believe it was 2018, this year. Not numbers that are going to blow you off the page, but 18 catches for 231, 2 touchdowns, and nearly 13 yards a catch. Doing a great job in the pass game, too, blocking as well as the run game blocking. So a very, very solid football player for the Buckeyes. Then the running backs, Travion Henderson, 474 yards, 4 touchdowns, 6 yards a carry, putting up some good numbers, but has been in and out of the lineup. And then you got the other back, Mayan Williams, 74 carries for 516, 9 touchdowns, 7 yards a carry, doing a really, really nice job for the Buckeyes. Now, we take a look at the Big Ten standings. Ohio State, Michigan, right at the top of the East, sitting at 7-0, 4-0 in conference. Penn State right behind at 6-1. So you have 3 ranked teams in the East: the number 2 Buckeyes, the number 4 Wolverines, and the number 13 Penn State Nittany Lions. In the West, you got Illinois sitting there at number 17th in the country, 6-1, playing really, they're kind of like Michigan light. They run the football and they play defense. They don't do anything special, but they are hard, nose to the grindstone type team. Now, let's take a look at the Big Ten slate for week number 9. Only 5 games in the Big Ten this week, but several big matchups. Ohio State and at Penn State on Big Noon on Fox. That's obviously your marquee matchup. Michigan State at Michigan obviously is a huge rivalry. Michigan State got them last year, and that was Michigan's only loss in the regular season last year. Illinois at Nebraska, Northwestern at Iowa, and Rutgers at Minnesota are your other Big Ten matchups. Now, let's look around the college football landscape and some of the better top 25 matchups this week. You got Kentucky at Tennessee. That should be a really good one. Mark Stoops leads Kentucky, the Youngstown native. You know, Tennessee is just playing some great football, already knocked off Alabama this year. Oklahoma State, number 9 at number 22, Kansas State, should be a good game there. Florida at number 1, Georgia. Now, it's, I say at, even though the game is in Jacksonville, it's a neutral site. They call it the world's largest cocktail party. I believe that would be one of the best places to watch a game. It would just be so much fun. It'd be more of the party atmosphere than the actual game itself. And then just a couple hours right down the road, you got TCU, the number 7 team in the country, coming in to Morgantown to take on West Virginia. Now, just a few of our local teams. Obviously, YSU, Youngstown State, is 4-3 right now, sitting 2-2 in conference. They will take on South Dakota at 2 p.m. at home. So this should be a big game for YSU, coming off a last-second victory last week at Western Illinois. So big game for YSU this week. If you're able to get out and support the Penguins. And then a couple other local teams here. You got Kent State. They will play Tuesday, November 1st. They will host Ball State, and we like to call that Maction. They are in the MAC conference. You, when they play these weekday games, they're calling it Maction. So Kent State will get the national TV audience. I believe that will be on ESPN, but you got to go against the World Series as well. Possibly, I think that would be game 4. The Akron Zips host Miami of Ohio. That game is at noon. And then Mount Union, who you always know they're going to be tough and they're going to be undefeated most likely at this point in the season. They are 7-0 and they travel to Otterbein this weekend. So those are some of the better games from the weekend. And some of our local teams in action this weekend as well. Now, let's go to the high school football action. We have, I believe there's 25 teams locally that made the playoffs. So I'm going to just share real quickly my picks and who I like for this week's matchup. So in Division II, we have no Division I teams in our area, which is absolutely insane to me. When I was in school, I don't want to sound like the old guy, when I was this old, but when back we had Fitch, we had Harding, we had Boardman, maybe one or two other teams that were Division I. No more Division I teams in our area, and only one Division II team qualified for the playoffs. That is Austintown Fitch, but they are the number four seed. I like them to beat Mayfield this weekend. In Division III, Canfield will host New Philadelphia. I like Canfield to win that game. Ursuline, who is Division III, I like them to beat Hawken, and I like the Cheney Cowboys to knock out the Alliance. I believe they're the Aviators. So I like Cheney to beat Alliance in that game. We go to Division IV, which flip the Roman numerals there. It should be IV. But anyway, Field taking on West Branch, number one West Branch. I like them to move on. Beaver Local Beavers, I like them to win. I like Hubbard to upset Joe's Girard Indians this weekend in a 14-3 matchup. I don't really have a good reason. I like Hubbard's style of play, and I think they could take that out. In a 9-8 matchup, I like Struthers. I'm simply picking Struthers because they got the home field advantage in this one. Salem is traveling to Canton South, but I like the Quakers to upset Canton South in that game. I have Poland losing to Jefferson. They will travel. That's kind of a long drive, and Poland's kind of had an up and down season, so I like Jefferson to win that game, the Falcons. In Division V, we have Liberty, the number 16 team at South Range, number one. South Range has been dominant all year long. Give me South Range all day. Cardinal Mooney at Edison. I'm going to go with the Edison Wildcats in this one, the number four seed. And in the 9-8 matchup in Division V, you get Garrettsville Garfield at Conneaut. This one, I actually like the road team. I like the G-Men to take care of business and move on. And I believe that will set up a matchup with South Range next week. Division VI, Valley Christian. Give me Valley Christian all day. I'm going to go with Brookfield. I'm going to also go with the United Golden Eagles over Rootstown. I'm going to go with Canton Central Catholic to beat Mineral Ridge. I'm going to go with the Dalton Bulldogs to knock off Jackson Milton Blue Jays. I'm going to go with the Mogador Wildcats. And then in Division 7, give me Warren JFK, the number one seed, to advance. Give me the Lowville Rockets, the number two seed. Give me the Southern Indians, the Springfield Tigers. And unfortunately, I'm going to pick the Norwalk St. Paul Flyers to knock off Lisbon. So those are my picks for this weekend in high school football. Week one of the playoffs should be a really good, some really good matchups. And there's probably going to be a few cupcake games for some of the higher seeded teams there. But we'll see, and we'll have more for next weekend in week two as we do that. All right, we're going to close out with two things here. So I first want to talk a little bit about the Cavs and their you know, opening to the season, their first four games. So we'll talk about that briefly. And then I'm going to just throw out a couple costume ideas here as we enter the Halloween weekend. So we look at the Cleveland Cavaliers and what they have done so far this season. Started last Wednesday. So we're a full week into the season, four games in. You had a loss to the Raptors on opening night, 108-105. But they have won their last three games and knocked off the Bulls by 30 points. They beat the Wizards in overtime. And last night, they took care of the Magic, 103-92. So doing a really, really fantastic job there for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, let me just give you a couple little tidbits here on so far what the Cavs have done this season. First of all, Donovan Mitchell, the Joe and I were doing a show at the Canfield Fair when the Cavs acquired this guy, and he has been nothing but great for the Cavaliers so far. He is only the third player in all of NBA history, all of NBA history to score 30 points or more in his first three games with the franchise. That is the other players, Wilt Chamberlain and Glenn Robinson. Those are the only two other players to score 30 or more points in their first three games in franchise history. Major feat there. Jared Allen is the only current NBA player that is 25 years old or younger to have 3,000 or more rebounds. That's a pretty impressive feat right there. Jared Allen is, the Cavs like to give this award out called the Junkyard Dog. And who was the scrappiest player of the game? And, they gave it to him and Evan Mobley last night because those two are just absolute studs and get after it. I think the Browns need to take a little lesson from the Cavs. The Cavs are playing very physical and get after it. Bickerstaff, the head coach, got after the team in the locker room because he thought they were dogging it in the first half, and they came out and responded in the second half. Maybe the Browns need that too. Light a fire under their ass and get after them, and we'll see what happens. But that's where the Cavs at. The Cavs had 39 three-pointers in their first three games, which was the most in their franchise history. It also led the NBA. And Jetty Osman, through three games, now they have played four, but through the first three games, led the NBA in plus-minus. That means when you're on the court, plus means how many points better your team is than the opponent, or minus means how many points worse is your team than the opponent. Jetty Osman was the number one player in the NBA in plus-minus with a plus 51 in the first three games. So pretty amazing. All right. Last thing, Joe.
Yes.
It's Halloween coming up. We're not going to do another show until Halloween. By the way, if you want to look to our social media pages, I even shared it on our Youngstown Studio page, but we did a Halloween movie draft last year. If you're looking for something other than maybe some football or whatever to watch this weekend, there's some great, great movies out there that you can watch, and good entertainment, especially this time of year. It's just fun to even if it's not your thing. We have some really scary movies on there. We got some moderately scary movies, and we got some like funny scary movies on there. So it's kind of a good mix for everybody. But I want to show you a couple costumes that came across my social media the other day. And let's start with this one. It's a clown. So it includes a 1-5 bowl record, creepy sleepovers, spirited practices, nose picking, booger eating. And, he got one win against the Buckeyes and thought he could leave and go to the NFL, and he did not. Credit to this crazy clown that he has produced a good team this year. But I think at the end of the season, this clown is going to be a sad clown. Nice. So that is one Halloween costume. And then the other one. If anybody knows me, they know my least favorite movie character of all time is Grandpa Joe, who is, this is an adult size costume, one size fits all. It's a freeloading piece of shit. So Grandpa Joe, no offense to anyone named Joe, especially the one across from me, but we know that this guy is probably one of the worst characters in all of movies. And freeloading piece of shit, I don't think like sums it up with Grandpa Joe. He's just the worst. So had to throw that in. Great, great Halloween costume.
Well, for those that didn't catch it, tell us why you hate Grandpa Joe so bad.
Oh, they're, first of all,
your top couple reasons.
Okay. One, gives Charlie unbelievable hope that he's going to get this golden ticket. There's five in the world. What are the odds of that? The kid, first of all, has no money. They are literally piss poor. And I bet that whole shanty they live in smells like piss, by the way, because those four old bastards in bed haven't moved since when was that movie supposed to be? The 60s? So like they haven't moved in like 20 years. So it was like the mid 40s. And we all know hygiene and stuff was not peak in that day, let alone getting out of bed, Okay, another reason. As soon as Charlie gets that ticket, he gets up and starts dancing like he's on freaking Broadway.
What the heck?
It's Grandpa Joe, man.
He was milking the system is what he was doing. He's getting that insurance money, faking it the whole time.
I think he is faking it. I think he is faking it. And Charlie, who has like a paper route or something, I think he buys like his tobacco for him. Like, no, get your ass out of bed. First of all, help your family move into something bigger than like a 200 square foot apartment in which your bed takes up 100 of those square feet.
And there's a hole in the freaking roof. I saw that.
Yeah,
thing, man.
Yeah. And it's probably leaking and they're eating like.
And you're smoking pipe tobacco.
Exactly.
What an idiot.
Exactly. So gets Charlie's hopes up, all the other shit I mentioned, not to mention. As soon as Charlie brings him that golden ticket, he's like, oh, I'm going. He is a free, like, he's like, I'm in. Let me get my cane and my, like, Grandpa Joe. Like, I need.
You know, I still have anxiety from the fizzy lifting drinks that he thought was such a good, idea.
He almost killed his grandson.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It broke the freaking rules.
Yeah. And broke the rules, which caused Charlie not to get the prize money. And thankfully, Charlie, out of the goodness of his heart, returned that ever-loving, everlasting gobstopper. He wanted to go right to Slugworth and get that 10 grand.
What a dick.
You know he would have bought $9,000 in tobacco with that 10 grand. Freaking Grandpa Joe. I could go on all day. We've already done worst movie characters draft, and Grandpa Joe was like unanimously number one, so we didn't even pick him. We just named the draft after him, but there might be a whole show in the future dedicated to Grandpa Joe.
Okay.
So that is a great Halloween costume if you want to go as a freeloading piece of shit. So that's my rant. Ended on that. Everyone, hope you have a happy Halloween. Thanks for bearing with me and my voice. Appreciate Joe doing all the behind the scenes stuff. We thank you guys for watching Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show. Happy Halloween to everybody, and enjoy your weekend. And follow my show, follow Youngstown Studio, and we're going to keep churning out great content for you guys. So appreciate you watching, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and